League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
A very special WHM Oscar special. I said special twice. That's okay.
It's incredibly special. Yeah.
Special. I'm Andrew Jupin alongside Christopher Cabin, Eric Siska, Steven Sadek. We are here to talk about the Oscars. Just give you our quick rundown of...
we're going to talk about the Oscars.
Oh, Steven Seagal loves the Oscars in Hard to Kill. That's the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Get some champagne.
On that episode, I'm glad we have this forum to address this. Steven Seagal has attended the Oscars. He did present at one point.
Right. In the episode, we were asking about whether or not we thought he ever attended the Academy Awards.
So thank you, Anonymous.
I think he's now in the Roman Polanski category, as if he comes back to American soil, he will be justly arrested, which would be...
Every time Steven Seagal comes up on the show, I want to check in. I'm pretty sure he's an enemy of the state.
Wow, he went from a Louisiana lawman.
Gumbo swamp captain,
enemy of the state.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think the Oscars probably did something similar to SNL, and they just banned him after.
That makes total sense. So I don't know. Let's see. First one up. Just because we did an episode on one of the movies in it, I want to touch really quickly on animated feature.
Okay, you said just because. There's a great a crab restaurant near me called Just Be Claws.
Are you kidding me?
Is your neighborhood written by the team behind The Good Place?
Either that or the Bob's Burgers folks.
Yeah, it's kind of a Bob's Burgers like come to life.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh. All right, so animated feature this year, Loving Vincent, Ferdinand, Coco, The Breadwinner, and the previous episode, The Boss Baby.
I've only seen The Boss Baby.
Oh, is that right?
I kind of meant to say.
Is this one of those like Me and Cabin categories?
Probably.
You know, most of them will be. I've only seen The Boss Baby. I did want to see Loving Vincent, but I did not get around to it.
Loving Vincent is a movie that's cool in concept, but it really should be 20 minutes.
Yeah,
this was the movie where they famously, for every frame, there is an oil painting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool, but it only gets you so far. The movie itself is
like... You cut that ear off in that thing?
It's post that.
Come on.
Well, that's the thing, because it's a movie...
Show, don't tell.
It's a movie about... He has died by suicide, and it's this dude who comes to town. Mm. He goes to the village where it happened, and he's trying to figure out... Did Van Gogh actually commit suicide, or was he maybe murdered?
Nice.
Or did he not exist at all?
One of the above, right? It's like this 97-minute movie, and it fucking gets on you. Like, it just, it takes so long. And the coolness of the effect, it is beautiful, but once your eye adjusts to it and your brain adjusts to what you're watching, like, you're not impressed anymore.
I think Akira Kurosawa had it right to keep it to 20 minutes, because in Dreams, there is a Van Gogh section.
Yeah, I was going to say, every Kurosawa movie is only 20 minutes.
I turn them off after 20 minutes.
it was a series of vignettes.
Let's get the Yankee game on. Turn this Kurosawa shit off.
Speaking of shit, Ferdinand was terrible.
Was not good.
You saw this.
Yeah, I haven't seen Coco.
Coco is great. Coco and The Breadwinner are the two I like.
The Breadwinner,
what is that about? It's about a guy that's going to work.
It's not even
it's
slightly.
An animated version of The Merchant of Four Seasons, actually.
Not even close. It is a movie. It's by the people who did Song of the Sea, Cartoon Saloon. They're an Irish production company. And it's adapted from a book of the same name, and it's about a little girl leading up to the U.S. Invasion in the Middle East.
I thought you meant of Ireland for
no,
a second.
No.
When did that happen?
Not yet.
And we'll get there.
We're going into Ireland.
Because then it's next stop Scotland. And I'll get that fucking golf course.
Right.
So her father is sentenced to jail. And it's in Afghanistan. So the Taliban is taken over. And women can't be outside. So she pretends to be a little boy trying to like make her way to this prison to get her father out of jail.
Weird. And so that is a bizarre topic for an animated film.
Yeah, no, and I saw it at Toronto. I loved it. I think it's really great. And fuck the Boss Baby, which is what will probably
win. Also, by
the way, I think Coco. It's got to be Coco. Coco's going to kill.
Coco's got it.
Here's the thing, though.
The Academy is full of like brain dead elderly.
A lot of the time, too, it's the movie that makes like the most money. And I think Boss Baby has this thing.
I think they're both. Coco made a lot of money.
And Coco's culturally relevant. Boss Baby is a bit too close to a comedy. And, you know, the Academy don't like no comedies.
I don't know that the Academy cares about cultural relevance.
Shrek 1.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes. And Shrek 2 was nominated. So.
A thin category.
They left Shrek the Third off, by the way. That didn't get nominated?
I did not, I don't think.
All right, moving on. Best Supporting Actress, we've got Mary J. Blige for Mudbound, Allison Janney for I, Tonya, Laurie Metcalf, Lady Bird, Leslie Manville, Phantom Thread, Octavia Spencer, The Shape of Water.
I sadly did not get to Mudbound yet, so.
What are you going to say?
I think it's really good. I mean, it's just the most depressing movie ever made.
That's on my shelf of the most depressing movie ever made, where I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll just watch
one day,
this.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was like, fine. I don't understand the hype at all. I think Mary J. Blige is fine in it. It is a movie. You'll be hard pressed to find it on Netflix. They're acting like it's not even nominated for
Academy
Awards.
That's a Netflix for you.
Yeah. In this though, I'm kind of assuming it's going to Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah.
Really?
I think it's Allison Janney. 100%.
You think so?
She is, I believe, the favorite, which I disagree with because it's kind of.
I prefer.
She's good. Don't get me wrong. Oh, yeah. But Laurie Metcalf feels more like a real person in
a performance.
Movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a problem with I, Tonya in general. Even though I like I, Tonya quite a bit. And we'll get there later too. I do think that Metcalf deserves it over.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about TV character, grizzled character actresses that deserve an Oscar this year, I think it's Laurie Metcalf. It's just, it's a little cartoony, it's a little broader. Yeah. And like there's those scenes with Laurie Metcalf, like that scene when she's talking to the suicidal teacher in Lady Bird.
Yeah.
And it's just her and this guy. And like, it just kind of, and it's also, that's the script and the directing and everything else, but like, it fleshes that character out to be something that matters.
So you're saying that's why she's not going to get the Academy Award?
Yes. No, I really think it's because everyone's like, oh my God, Allison Janney.
It seems to be her moment right now. I also want to say Leslie Manville was really good.
She's incredible.
In Phantom Thread. Yeah.
I like Octavia Spencer in Shape of Water. I think the role isn't terrible. That's one of the weaker parts of how that role is written, I would say.
They should have written out Richard Jenkins in that movie and just upped her. Her role.
I absolutely agree with that.
Because I feel like Richard Jenkins, as much as I like him, I feel like he's kind of a weak link in that movie.
Interesting. Really? I really liked him in that movie, too. I was actually surprised. I mean, I like Octavia Spencer in general. I was kind of surprised that she was nominated for this because I thought it was just kind of such a small, nothing role. Yeah. I don't know. Right.
I mean, and she's really strong in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like the scenes with her husband and all that stuff. And like,
She
plays off incredible. Well, I guess, you know what? The thing is, that's actually kind of interesting about her performance is so much of it is telling you what, I can't think of her name. Sally Hawkins is thinking and doing. You know what I mean? Like she carries a lot of that movie because she Sally Hawkins doesn't speak. You know what I mean? Like
that's true.
Those interplays are really good.
Yeah.
Much like with Jenkins as well. But like, I think that's sort of why, I don't know.
I should say I saw this movie in like early September and haven't watched it again since. So
I
might be forgetting some of what she did in the movie. So then we go lead actress. We're just kind of like going up this sheet here. Sally Hawkins, Shape of Water, Frances McDormand, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Margot Robbie, I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan, Lady Bird, and Meryl Streep, The Post. That's the fucking have to nominate. Just because she was in a movie.
Yeah. I don't understand it anymore with this.
I at least understand more than Florence Foster Jenkins, which was one of the worst
movies.
Which
we are still calling Florence Foster Fuckface.
Oh, absolutely.
In case anyone's
right.
curious.
Yeah.
That's still what we're calling.
And nobody's seen it, right?
No one's ever.
Nobody on this planet.
Florence Foster Fuckface?
Nobody's seen it.
I saw that movie.
Oh, you did?
I had to see it for work. That's why I'm so vitriolic towards it.
And it's no good.
It is a fucking joke.
But I think that It's probably going to be Frannie McD.
That's not even a probably. Yeah, she's going to destroy this fucking category.
I think it should be Sally Hawkins.
I think that she's fantastic.
It's the more interesting performance.
And even her or Ronan.
Ronan's
like,
great.
Saoirse
Ronan's
great
in that movie.
It's a strong category except for... I mean, and I think that like Frances McDormand is the only reason to ever see Three Billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
I mean,
Missouri.
The longer since I've seen that movie, the more and more I dislike it. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, okay. And then it's just like,
I just saw it like last week and I really didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I tried to go in clean. Like, I knew that people didn't like it, but I was like, you know what? This could be a movie that I like. And I really tried to keep myself very... kind of in that place, and I was like, "Oh fuck this!"
I will announce it right here now. Martin McDonagh never made a good movie.
Overrated as shit. It's incredible.
I mean, I like a lot of his plays. I've seen one put up, which was
I don't
really
know
cool.
any of his play work. So,
The Lieutenant of Inishmore is one you should read. That's a good.
The Beauty Queen of Lalaine, I think it's called.
Yeah. A Behanding in Spokane, another good one.
Mm-hmm. Guy likes geography. Dude loves geographical titles.
Yeah, that movie, it's funny. If that movie had not gotten like all the, you know, press attention and award attention that it has, I would not have thought about that movie again after I saw it.
I guess it's a movie that sort of takes itself incredibly seriously. So like, and it feels like an Oscar movie, you know what I mean? So that's kind of why it's here.
That's the issue. Is like Martin McDonagh has never made like a serious movie. That's kind of why I didn't care about him.
Also, he's trying to make a movie about like serious American issues, that
which
I don't
is
think he
just
really
not
understands.
Where he should be. Yes. Like, he just doesn't have the thing for it. Like,
hey, stay in Europe.
I don't know that that's a valid thing. I mean, like, who's to say, like, who can weigh in on what? And also, like,
I don't like these directors coming in and saying what Americans do not do.
Exactly. I'm a nativist when it comes to film.
Sometimes it makes total sense to have an outsider's perspective, man. And that's, like, maybe kind of an interesting thing.
Fine. I just don't think the movie's very... I mean, like, I just think that, like, even, like... The race stuff is problematic for sure. Sam Rockwell's whole thing is problematic for sure. And we're going to get there. But like, I just think that the movie...
I think like... And you cannot like that, and it's fine. And I kind of don't think it works either. But like, the point of it is to be problematic.
Sure.
It's not like they're just doing a thing thinking it's awesome.
You take that off the table, it's still a bad movie. That's why I don't like it. It's like it's like the... It's all over the place, and like, who gives a shit about Woody Harrelson in that movie, and why is he?
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell's overdue. He's had a good career. I've always liked him and stuff. I thought he was good in Three Billboards, but
I think it's a really badly written character. And just like in general, it's one thing to bring up a political idea and all this stuff, but you have to have insight to back it up. And like, I don't think this movie has any insight.
Yeah, it rings kind of very hollow in that way. Also, by the way, not enough Dinklage.
That's the thing too.
Like, what are we doing?
He's been in all of his movies, right? Or a lot of them.
That's a question mark. What is Pinker Dinklage even doing in that movie? Like, at the end, like,
what
he's got
he doing in In Bruges? Nothing as well.
I don't even remember. I saw that movie.
I think
one
he was
time.
In that, right? He was like,
I never saw it.
Yeah, he goes to like some party movies. Or something.
But like, it's like, oh wow, it's like he takes her on that date, and John Hawkins makes fun of him, and then it's like he has this big empowered speech at the end. I'm like, you're not a character in this movie, pal. Like,
yeah,
I'm
totally. Sorry. You're not allowed to weigh in. You weren't in this movie.
It's almost kind of like. The scene in Fargo with the guy that creeps her out a little bit, that date that she goes on. Frances McDormand, awkward dates, killing the awkward date department.
And that's a great scene.
That's a great scene because that's like just sort of, it fills the world out. But this is like towards the end of the movie, like one of the last scenes in the movie is Peter Dinklage having a speech about like, I'm great at whatever. And like, I love that movie because it's, they spend so much time with, oh my God, John Hawkes is dating this 18-year-old girl. Isn't that silly? Meanwhile, Woody Harrelson has like this quote-unquote great relationship, which is actually fine, with Abby Cornish, who's like 19 years old also. It's like, what are we talking about? That guy was in Cheers, and she was in fucking diapers. Like, what on earth are we talking about, movie?
I will say, I couldn't think about, we were talking about this off the air, and I said that McDonagh won an Academy Award for live action short in 2004. Mm-hmm. The movie is called Six Shooter. Brendan Gleeson is in it. I think you can like stream it on Amazon. It might be also on Mubi. Mm-hmm. You can check it out. It's 27 minutes. It's a comedy short. These like two guys on a train get attacked by criminals. It's really well done because it seems like it's a thing that could have come from one of his plays.
Sure.
Like it's single setting, that whole thing. It's not like, I'm looking back at this, like even the poster right now for Seven Psychopaths, I'm like, fuck that movie. Yes. I just could not with that.
Big
so
time
quick, we should do this for these major categories. Who do we all think that McDormand's going to win. Who do we individually want to win?
That's a good call. I should have said that at the top because I think that's also kind of interesting. Yeah, we think Francis, right? Yeah. And I'm looking at this, and I would like it to be Saoirse Ronan.
Okay.
Ditto.
For actor?
Actress.
Yeah, I think Sally. I would prefer Sally Hawkins.
I kind of think Sally Hawkins as well.
Mm-hmm. I think Francis.
McKinney, oh yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing the thinks, and then we're doing the what we wants is the idea.
I was just on IMDb, and I believe I was wrong about Peter Dinklage being an improv.
Oh shit! Wow. All right.
Well, were you thinking of Elf?
Peter Dinklage is an elf. I have never seen Elf.
You're fine.
Were you thinking of Game of Thrones?
Because
he's in that. He's definitely in Game of Thrones.
What?
Yeah, that's, you know, in Bruges, Europe. Game of Thrones is kind of Europe.
Yeah, three billboards feels like it's 70 hours long.
all right, so going on to Best Supporting Actor, we have Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project, Woody Harrelson, Three Billboards, Richard Jenkins, Shape of Water, Christopher Plummer, All the Money in the World, and Sam Rockwell also for Three Billboards.
It should be Christopher Plummer for Fuck You, Kevin Spacey. That's all. It's a spite move. It's a great spite move.
It's amazing.
And I love it.
Now to have it be nominated on top of all of that, on top of reshooting an entire film's worth of supporting scenes in 2 weeks over Thanksgiving, the whole thing, and it goes on to be a nominated performance. Fuck you, Kevin Spacey.
It's a real good fuck you, Kevin Spacey. I have not seen that, and I've not seen The Florida Project. I do want to see The Florida Project. I'll probably never see Christopher Plummer's All the Money in the World.
I'm in the exact same boat with you, Steve.
All the Money in the World, I don't think is a terrible movie. It's actually like a quite fine Ridley Scott movie.
I will say, I think he is the best part of it.
He is. He and Michelle Williams are great. And, you know, all the pay nonsense that happened to Offset, like, I realize all that. But also, it's that rare, like, oh, Mark Wahlberg's kind of good in this movie, too.
Yo, bro, I'm fucking great. Yeah. I'm fucking, what are you talking about?
Bro, I've been great in fucking everything.
You know what? I was in a scene with Kevin Spacey. I schooled him. And then I was in a scene with Christopher Plummer. I schooled him, too, bro.
Hey, Ridley. Can I wear glasses in this movie? I want to feel smart.
There's a little bit of
that. You could put anybody in that old man's seat. I'll fucking school him. You could resurrect Marlon Brando. Go ahead.
I'll beat the shit out of that ghost. I'll beat the shit out of him like a Vietnamese grocer.
Yep.
Because never forget that he fucking did that.
No, he's a hate crime artist.
hate crime artist, huh? Yeah.
So, all right. First,
artisan.
The thinks will win. I thinks this be Sam Rockwell.
I think it's Sam Rockwell.
I think Sam Rockwell. But I, without even seeing it, I'll say Willem Dafoe deserves it.
I would like Willem Dafoe. I would just...
I'd like to thank the Academy. First up on my list of thanks, Spider-Man. You got me where I am today. Also, Bob Crane. Want to thank that sexy fuck.
I just want him to show up in the same exact attire and look as him in Wild at Heart.
Or Streets of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Or fucking To Live and Die in L.A. Let's get that outfit going. Leather Daddy Willem Dafoe.
Or you know what? Why doesn't he show up as Interview with the Vampire? No. Shadow of the Vampire.
By the way, just to keep the Peter Dinklage thread going throughout this, to further embarrass myself, I was confusing him with another little person actor, Jordan Pretense, who actually, related to this show, played Howard T. Duck. Howard the Duck.
Congratulations, Mr.
So
Pretense.
I just wanted to get into that and say, put the tweet down. I haven't seen that movie in 10 years.
We weren't thinking of the station agent, I swear.
I think Jenkins is very good in Shape of Water. That's who I would probably give it to in terms of like things that I really like. I like that role.
I think it's a good role to show the outsiders are banding together in a way, but I just... I felt like he was flat for me.
I would have preferred a little bit more about them together, like her and the creature.
That's true. There's a little less of that. Yeah, that's true. And I actually think if you're going to nominate for Best Supporting for that movie, I would probably go either Stuhlbarg or...
Shannon.
Shannon, yeah. I think Shannon's a bit broader and just scary, but I think Stuhlbarg's actually...
He had three chances to get nominated this year and was snubbed out of every last one.
Yeah, he was good in Call Me By Your Name.
He's the best part of that movie. Hot take. He is the best
you
part
don't,
of that
you movie. Didn't like the young upstart here?
Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, you didn't think he was good?
I think he's good. Michael Stuhlbarg is a better actor. He's more seasoned.
Sure.
Yeah.
like a fine piece of beef. No, that monologue alone at the end of that movie.
That Armie Hammer.
Yeah, that's your piece of beef.
The, man, prime cut.
The monologue that Michael Stuhlbarg gives in that movie
is really
the,
good.
And rarely am I like floored by acting. You know, I can acknowledge like, oh, that was a great performance or whatever. That I was like, oh. Well, like it really got me.
You know, yeah. I didn't see it. So not, thanks for the spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, hey, spoiler alert, Steve. Good performances.
Michael Stuhlbarg says something at the end of the movie. Great. I guess the movie's not over yet because Michael Stuhlbarg hasn't had a monologue yet.
You saw the trailer already, so it's clearly already ruined for you, Steve.
Them on bikes.
I think that was a pretty good movie.
And I want that's yeah. That is the one movie that I did not see of the Best Picture category that I really wanted to that I didn't get to yet.
Right. Defoe in The Florida Project though is incredible. Fucking great. And it's unlike anything you've seen Willem Dafoe do before, which is why cool. I think it really just showcases like this guy can do anything. He doesn't have to be these like cartoon villains time after time. Like he's playing this like very gentle, like he's Bobby, I run the motel. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like great. There's a scene where he chases off a fucking old man pedophile who's like kind of talking to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It's like that Dafoe finesse, man, chasing this pervert out of the parking lot.
I can't wait.
Quick question. I mean, like, I know why Sam Rockwell is in this, and I agree with Eric. Like, I think it's a fine performance. It's a problematic role, but it's a fine performance, and, like, he's been doing it for so long, and, like, yeah. I'm so glad that he's probably going to win an Oscar for this. However, the fuck is Woody Harrelson doing in this?
Yes, I don't understand.
I don't get it.
The fuck is he doing anywhere near this category? He's got, like, 5 scenes. He's just doing Woody Harrelson again.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, doing like you can tell when Woody Harrelson's getting serious because he like slows down a
exactly.
little.
And it will truly be a planet of billboards.
I will say, spoiler alert, and you'll probably want to scroll ahead 60 seconds because the funniest spoiler for 3 Billboards, the funniest suicide I've seen in quite some time is Woody Harrelson in that movie.
Oh, it is up there goodness. With like Brian Brown in Cocktail levels of hilarious movie suicides.
It's like Mo in that Simpsons thing, no funeral in the no back. He puts a bag over his head and says, "Don't open it," and call the boys. Also, dude, you love your wife. You have this great, beautiful day. Da 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 da. Go to a hotel and kill yourself.
Yes.
Don't do it in the hotel. Go to the police station. Yeah. It's right
now
there.
Now we got to sell that barn and like, the house and everything.
This other movie was a bit disappointing, but I thought he was better in The War of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah, I was fine with him getting ape fever in that movie. I was surprised. I did not care for that movie.
I didn't see it yet.
I liked
you know what
the
I
other
like
two?
About that movie is the idea that the struggle of man is so inconsequential, and like once this is not really a spoiler, but once it comes to a head, like humans kind of don't matter to that movie, which is great.
That's where we're all going anyway.
can't wait.
Can't wait.
So best lead actor in a film. So we have the aforementioned Timothy Chalamet, Call Me By Your Name. Daniel Day-Lewis in his probably not final performance in Phantom Thread.
When I see it.
Yeah, totally. Daniel Kaluuya, Get Out. Woo! Gary Oldman, Darkest Hour. And Denzel Washington, Roman J. Israel, Esquire. That one I have not seen.
I was going to say, has anyone
I have.
Seen? Oh, wow, okay.
Cool. I've been wanting to rent it.
I haven't seen it.
It's kind of been getting shit on, but I kind of liked it. I thought it was a pretty interesting little movie they made there, and it's just like, it came out at the wrong time, I think.
It just got buried. Did anybody of note direct it? I'm not sure.
I think it's Gilroy. It's the guy who did Nightcrawler.
Oh, Tony cool. Gilroy? Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
Now I'm actually very interested in that. I love
the trailer looked pretty good, but I didn't
I'm
get around to it yet.
Always around for the big deal Denzel performance where he's not having a gun.
He's better than he's been in a long time in this.
Even in Fences, because I thought
he's good in Fences. I thought this was, there's a character here that's a little bit more complex than he is in Fences.
Like, okay.
I kind of understood the Fences character pretty quickly. It's this one is a little bit more.
This in from the internet, it's Dan Gilroy who also wrote Kong Skull Island. He wrote Nightcrawler. He wrote Born Legacy. He wrote Real Steel. That's kind of funny.
Real Steel, better than you would expect.
Really?
Oh, is that nominated? Was that not? No.
This was like 2011, right?
I would say
it's actually
good
not
movie.
Bad. Yeah. I mean, it's long, but it's actually for Rock'em Sock'em Robots, the movie starring Hugh Jackman. It's not bad at all.
No. Interesting. Isn't that based on a Twilight Zone?
I have no idea.
I am glad.
I thought it was a Mr. Matheson story there.
I am glad that Hanks isn't nominated. I don't think
so happy.
Yeah,
he's just doing Tom Hanks.
He's just doing Tom Hanks.
I didn't see the post. That's one out of Best Picture I haven't seen yet, and I'm just glad Tom Hanks is not for no reason, really.
Because like I love when Denzel shows up in movies. I feel like Tom Hanks does not. Well, you know what I mean? Like Tom Hanks doesn't really turn it on anymore.
He's well. The bigger issue is he's playing the same character Jason Robards played.
Yeah.
In All the President's Men, and that is like best character ever.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Why
and
do
like,
this?
And you have like all these other scenes with him, so you're like, oh, cool. And it's just not. I mean, Meryl Streep's very good in that movie, but she's just doing Meryl Streep. You know, it's yeah.
He's just Bob Odenkirk.
I would have preferred Bob Odenkirk be on the Best Supporting Actor above. A Woody Harrelson.
Yeah,
I thought he was totally.
Bob Odenkirk
is great in that movie, and he's got a much smaller role. But the guy playing Daniel Ellsberg,
yeah, he's good.
Matthew Rhys from The Americans, another great also supporting role in that movie.
Definitely true.
So, lead actor, who would you like to win, and who will win?
Oldman is winning.
I like his career. I didn't care for this movie that much, and I wish he wasn't winning.
This is a Little Miss Sunshine situation.
It's the Scorsese thing too.
It's the Sam Rockwell thing too, which we're talking about. I am so glad that Gary Oldman will have won an Oscar.
But by the way, I'm firmly Team DDL. Phantom Thread was my favorite movie of the year.
And it's kind of a shame because everyone's like, oh, it's so boring if Daniel Day-Lewis wins. But like, it's such a different performance from him. It's you know what I mean. Like his big performance are the Scorsese and the Scorsese movie.
Yeah, he's not Bill the Butcher here.
Yeah,
he's not screaming about milkshakes. There's nothing about this. I love Phantom Thread. It was my second favorite movie of the year. There's nothing about that movie that you could make a fucking meme out of.
Yep.
As far as like Daniel
we're
Day,
we're trying. I don't know. Those eggs are making a big splash.
Nah, that's stupid. Give up. You know what? The internet. Give up. Stop. Move on to the next thing.
What's your favorite movie of the year?
Get Out.
Oh yeah, Get Out's very good. I think Phantom Thread, Lost City of Z,
great movie.
Yeah. And I'm glad that Kaluuya got nominated.
Yeah,
He's had an awesome year, obviously, between this and Black Panther.
Yeah,
well, I guess that's like that's a year and a half now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like him to win. I would like
he holds
Daniel
that movie
Day
together.
To
I mean, not that movie needs to be held together, but anyone else in that role, it's not as good of a movie.
Yeah,
that's
true.
It's absolutely true. That movie is not nominated for Best Picture, even though it's great.
Without him in it. I just don't see it.
I think
Get Out. It would be great if Get Out won Best Picture.
Yeah,
I
would love that. I don't think it's happening.
I do not think it's happening.
I guess there's also like the potential, though. We're saying it's going to go to Gary Oldman. A potential total like backfire of that whole thing could be Timothée.
Yeah, he could be the next guy.
There's so much fucking hype about it, but like, yeah, I could see it also being a thing though. Like. It's Gary fucking Oldman. Yeah. This kid's going to be in other movies.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's Oldman for sure. But if it is going to go to somebody else, I think it will go to Daniel Day-Lewis.
Mm. All right. Achievement in directing.
Oh, you know, quick thing about the kid's going to be in other movies. I don't remember who won. I think it was Michael Caine the year that. Oh, that's right. It was the year Michael Caine won, the year Haley Joel Osment and I want to say Michael Clarke Duncan were both nominated for Best Supporting.
Uh-huh.
And I believe Michael Caine's like, well, your careers will go on and on. I could see you up on this stage every other weekend. And it's just like, that didn't happen, Mike.
For a couple of different reasons.
For a couple of different reasons.
Death and...
being Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah. Oh, he was just on an episode of The X-Files this season.
He's having fun. I'm so in on the Osment assance.
Yeah, like Haley Joel Osment, like fat comedic actor, I am fucking loving. Yeah. Him on Silicon Valley is amazing. He's good on this X-Files episode. Totally all about it. But yeah, Michael Caine, he knew what he was doing. One of these men will be dead soon. The other one's going to grow up to be a fat guy.
Who would have guessed I would outlive Michael Clarke Duncan? Right? I mean, wow. Sometimes I wake up laughing.
Oh, man, R.I.P.D. All right, achievement in directing. Chris Nolan, Dunkirk, Jordan Peele, Get Out, Greta Gerwig, Lady Bird, PTA, that's Paul Thomas Anderson, Phantom Thread, and Guillermo del Toro, The Shape of Water.
This is a category I am okay with everybody.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Time that I've ever been like, wow, I don't. Anyone who wins this, I'm walking home happy.
Yeah, I think my two I'm rooting for, Jordan Peele and Greta Gerwig.
I feel the same exact way.
Yeah, yeah, but it is weird because it's all totally fine. I think then third would be Guillermo del Toro, just because he is the sweetest man in the world.
I think that Guillermo is probably going to win.
You think so?
I think
he's either winning this or Shape of Water is winning. But
the most nominations?
Shape has the most nominations, so more than likely it's winning. But like... I would like this to be a split like I would like Shape of Water to win Best Picture,
and then
and
Gerwig.
Either Gerwig or Peele.
Yeah. I'm way into Gerwig.
T happens. Get Out's going to get Best Screenplay.
Yes,
because they're going to shut it out of Best Picture, and that's going to go to Shape of Water.
It was funny because I saw someone on Twitter saying that, and it's actually this dude Mark Harris who's written for a bunch of different publications. Blah 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 blah. He does an Oscar thing at the Burns every year, and he like. Someone else threw this mantle on him of Oscarologist.
Uh-huh.
We just make up words for shit when we don't want to say an expert about something.
Oh, is he the guy that could tell you when the Oscars get cancer?
And he was saying, actually, that he thinks that Get Out would be shut out of everything else and then go on to win Best Picture.
Oh, interesting.
Was his prediction about it, which I thought was pretty cool.
Well, because for
I'm okay with that,
it's an original screenplay, right?
Yeah,
it's original.
Yes, yep. So I think, but yeah, it's Three Billboards. I think is gonna give it some shit.
If I had to, and I don't know, that's actually if you had to rank the things that Get Out should win, in terms of like. You know, is it the best picture? Is it the best direction? Is it the best screenplay? Or is it the best actor? Like, what do you think goes first there?
I think best director is big. I think Jordan Peele winning it would be huge.
Yeah, yeah. I think I think that's true. I think that it's so much of that movie is... And I mean, like, more so than even the screenplay, which is really incisive and sharp and obviously has so much to do with that movie.
Yeah.
I think the direction is probably why that movie is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, because it's just, like, it's so precisely put together. Like... Everything about that movie is perfectly constructed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think. So, yeah. And that's a credit to him being so knowledgeable about everything that he's, you know, in the world that he's playing.
But I would...
Since we were talking about it, should we change gears to screenplay?
Yeah,
totally. So let's do...
But I want Guillermo to win, and I think he will.
Yeah, I think he'll probably win.
See, it's the weird thing.
It's like my best friend made a good movie. Like, oh, it's so nice. Like, it's because I've gone to all of his movies. I think they're all fantastic, but except for Pacific Rim, which you can kind of keep.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll never watch that movie again.
I saw it twice.
I enjoyed it.
I saw it in the theater, and then I saw it on HBO.
Meaning to rewatch
Crimson
it.
Peak is an awesome rewatch. That's a movie that's just so rich. And this is, and I was like, oh, cool. And when I saw Shape of Water, I was like, yes, this is going to be the movie that is. Rightfully the movie that like he's known for.
By the way, I know he's not involved, but I'm kind of like dumbly excited for like Pacific Rim 2. I know it's probably going to be good. Well, it's John Boyega, and then also like it's dumb robots, and I could, you know, sneak something into the theater.
Some water.
Some Shape of Water. I will sneak into that theater.
There you go. All right, so original screenplay, we've got The Big Sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, Three Billboards, Shape of Water.
I think Three Billboards is going to win it. And
fucking frustrating.
I hate to say that, but like, I really do think it's going to do it.
I would love to see Big Sick. I mean, like, it's such a great story. And also, like, the screenplay is really good. And
it is.
And they're fantastic. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's hearts will be warm when they get on stage.
It's also kind of crazy that this was really its only nomination.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. It didn't get anything else.
She should have been nominated for Best Actress. Or, I don't know, it's a tough field.
Who?
What's her face?
Zoe Kazan.
Kazan, who's in a coma for the majority of the movie?
Oh, I guess Best Supporting. No, actually, Holly Hunter, probably.
Holly Hunter's great. That's a great supporting. Yeah. Ray Romano, I know I make fun of him a lot on this show. I think he's great in that movie.
I do love Ray Romano in that movie.
Kumail is also great.
Kumail's great. I think he's fine. Yeah. As an actor. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking Three Billboards. I'd love it to be The Big Sick or Get Out, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Lady Bird, too. Like, it's great to see. Lady Bird is a great movie. You never see the coming of age from the female perspective.
Or there's like,
which is also another reason why I love Call Me By Your Name, because you never get a sexual awakening movie from a gay perspective.
Well, that's just frank about sexuality at that age. That's something that just doesn't happen.
I will say also about Lady Bird, especially in the screenplay area, I think. The period stuff plays so well in that movie, and it's a period.
Absolutely.
I mean, especially like us being the right age for that.
Oh yeah,
it's like, oh wow, I kind of remember that, just kind of coming home from school and like kind of sort of watching the war in Iraq. What's going on today?
<You know>? Like, let's see what's up with the war in Iraq.
And you kind of move on, and like that being there as it is really interesting, and also like the financial stuff, obviously.
The fact that she uses Real Big Fish's Snoop Dogg baby in this movie twice, I was like bowled over.
Yeah, and like
soundtrack award,
and also having the balls to do Dave Matthews Band Crash. Like, is it such a lame song? But at the time, that shit was popping. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Totally.
People,
it very much fits the period, yes, for sure.
Can we, quick shout out. We don't have to do the whole category, but cinematography. Roger Deakins,
yep,
baby.
He's got a, what the fuck
Let's
are
do
we
it.
Doing? It should just be Blade
just
Runner 2049, right, nominated five times.
Dark Horse Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Great,
yeah,
camera work in that. But yes, I am Team Deakins.
I love the way they frame Mark Rylance's face.
Yeah,
we're going to Dunkirk. What you,
the shit in Dunkirk I love the most in terms of cinematography is just like the airplane stuff.
Oh yeah,
Tom Hardy's vision in those planes.
Yeah, it's very like Howard Hawks.
I love the freezing
Howard Hughes rather.
The freezing,
yes, him
beach
too.
Is, yeah, so
they both like planes.
Yeah,
that's true.
You get cold when you watch that beach with all like the weird foam on the beach. It's, yeah, like it's, yeah, it's like so surreal, and the surreality of those sequences are really,
I also
well made.
Love that you don't really see the Germans that much.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So it's like a horror
choice
movie.
It is.
It's, yeah, fucking great.
I think I
love Dunkirk.
I love Dunkirk too, and I think I would be totally cool with Nolan winning for Dunkirk. I mean, like, it would be I think it's the award that the internet would have a lot of fun with if he won. But I think that would be undeserved because I think it's actually a really well made movie, especially from a directorial standpoint.
I'd be fine with Best Picture even.
Wait, but so who was the DP on Dunkirk?
That was Hoyt Van Hoytema.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not on this list.
Of Let the Right One In and Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
And lots of actually theater, yep, production design that he does. I mean, the thing about Deakins at 2049, though, like that movie is just like a beautifully warm sci-fi blanket I want to roll myself up in. And like that world that they create, like he managed to make what I think is a logical extension of that,
yep,
Blade Runner look, and that
but
Blade
it's not
Runner
just
world.
We're not doing like we're not just playing the hits. There's so much going on in that movie.
It should win visual effects.
Yes.
Also, yeah. Well, yeah. So adapted screenplay: Call Me by Your Name, The Disaster Artist, Logan, Molly's Game, and Mudbound. The Disaster Artist. You can just keep that Funny or Die sketch.
I would love Logan to win. Not just because the idea that a Wolverine movie would win Best Picture, the world would end.
Well.
or Best win an Academy Award for a movie about Wolverine.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, for CGI effects or whatever.
No.
Although snub of the century, man, Patrick Stewart, no supporting nomination. What are we doing?
Logan is great, but I think I'm rooting for Call Me by Your Name.
Can I tell you my stupid Logan story really quick?
Yes.
I got that Blu-ray for Christmas. You know, somebody gave it to me. I was like, oh, thank you so much. I was so excited to rewatch it. And I put it on and I watched the whole damn movie. And I'm like, oh, Logan's so great. And I realized I watched the DVD because it was a combo pack and I didn't know which was which.
Yeah, you got to watch it with those combos, man.
You pulled a boner.
Yeah, I mean, I think it will be Call Me by Your Name. I want it to be Logan.
I would say that's probably true of me, too. I mean, Molly's Game, I cannot say how much I hate that movie more.
Is that right? Now, that's Aaron Sorkin.
That's Aaron Sorkin not only writing, which is bad enough, but like... It's him directing, so nobody's there to say, hey, cut the shit.
Yeah.
Like, and you really do need that. David Fincher need to be able to say, like, look at his Social Network script and be like, cut the shit here.
That's why Danny Boyle's Jobs movie wasn't so good, because
exactly.
He didn't say cut the shit so much.
He didn't say it.
Yeah, he's too nice.
He's too much of a nice Scotsman there. He's like,
I want to quickly mention costume design. I think Phantom Thread should get it.
Oh, it has to. That would be criminal if not. It's a movie about costumes.
Conversely, if Beauty and the Beast wins anything, I'm leaving.
Exactly. I will leave Steve's house too.
I don't know. Did you see the movie?
No, I have no. I'm completely out on we're remaking
the live act. We're live action versions of it. Yeah, I totally understand.
I'm completely
that.
Out on it.
Live action that are mostly CGI.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Especially with this Lion King movie.
This Lion
King. It's a cartoon.
King.
It's,
what
you're
are
making
we doing?
A cartoon. A cartoon.
Yeah.
The fuck are you talking about?
It's just like it's a cartoon movie, but you're like filming real plants.
And you're
going to
make it more serious. And you're going to take out the Jeremy Irons song, Go Fuck Yourself.
Yeah. Is that right?
You
prepared is out.
No.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm out.
They're
fuck
keeping
you.
All the other ones. That's the only
don't
one.
Don't care.
Out.
Oh, so Be Prepared is out, but Hakuna Matata made it through.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think
whatever.
I think the idea is like, oh, the Nazi, whatever. You can always just play down the Nazi stuff. It's not a Nazi song.
Why play down the Nazis? We're being invaded by them from the inside fucking out right now.
That's a good point.
Come on. Come on.
Winston Who's Churchill in the house, everyone.
Well, no, then you got
chicken. Really quickly, this may be a me and Chris Cabin only before we get to Best Picture.
It definitely is.
documentary feature, yeah. Abacus, Small Enough to Jail, Faces Places, Icarus, Last Man in Aleppo, and Strong Island. What are you thinking and what do you want?
You know, I would say more than likely it's probably going to Icarus. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure. I would like it to go to either Faces Places or Strong Island.
Yeah, I would say I think it's going to Faces Places, and I want it to. It would be awesome to see.
It would be great for her to be
up
there.
Get an Oscar again. That was great. So we'll see. All right, the big deal, the big show, Best Picture. Three Billboards, Shape of Water, The Post, Phantom Thread, Lady Bird, Get Out, Dunkirk, Darkest Hour, Call Me by Your Name.
Can I say the movie that I would like to be on this list that's not, and could be in a lot of other categories as well? Good sure. Time.
Yeah.
Good Time, I think, could be here. It could be Best Actor. It could be Best Original Screenplay.
It certainly could be Cinematography.
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
That's my favorite movie of the year.
Pattinson should have got something.
I think Blade Runner or Last Jedi could be up there.
They usually have like that bigger, like a meteor.
I would be the summer movie they sometimes throw in there. But I guess that's Dunkirk because it came out in the summer.
That's true.
The Last Jedi is up for SJW Award. Oh, interesting. Oh, wow.
Also original score.
Star Justice Wars.
Speaking of score, I think it's John Williams' best work in a long
time. Oh, yeah,
that
score is fantastic.
That's a really, really, really good score. Although, I'll tell you, man, Johnny Greenwood's score for Phantom Thread, I think that's one of the more complex,
I agree with
like,
that.
Really great scores I've heard
speaking
in a while.
Of, since we're talking about music, what do you guys think of original song real quick?
Hakuna Matata is not nominated.
No, Sufjan Stevens, I think, has to.
I would like that. Yeah. I think that was a great song.
I think I'm actually going to have to eat my hat if that happens because I feel like a long time ago I was drunk. I was like, if Sufjan Stevens ever wins an Academy Award, I'll eat my hat. No, not for any real reason. It's just so weird that I've been listening to Sufjan Stevens for so long and now he's nominated for an Oscar. It's like, what?
Also, though, a song from Coco is, and it's always easy to throw shit to.
Let me just say, they also nominated South Park the movie for songs.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Although I eat my fucking feet now.
I wouldn't be surprised if they threw it to Mary J. Blige for Mighty River.
I would say that's probably my second pick.
Yeah. So Best Picture, what do we want? What do we think?
I want good call. Shape of Water.
Shape of Water is definitely winning.
Is that what you now okay, so that's what you think will win. What do you want to win?
I know I want
you double.
Yeah, double doubling on it.
I want. I mean, it's this again. This is a rare time where usually there's only one movie I really like.
I agree. There's so many good ones.
This one, there's a couple, and I would say it would come down to Phantom Thread or Get Out. Would be my picks.
I'd be okay with Lady Bird too. I kind of agree.
Looking at this, I feel like I have to just say what I don't want. I don't want Darkest Hour. Yeah. I don't want The Post, and I don't want Three Billboards.
You know, Steven.
Other than that, it's all great.
Steven Spielberg, you're not allowed to set a Vietnam sequence to a fucking Creedence song anymore. Guess what? Just guess what? Didn't you live through the 70s? Don't you have any other fucking frame of reference other than the movies you've watched about the 70s? You were there.
He was making Jaws, man.
He was busy. He was out to sea making Jaws.
I'm sorry.
I will say I want Phantom Thread. I think it will be Shape of Water, and that's fine. I like Shape of Water. I also like Get Out, Lady Bird, Dunkirk. Yeah. It's actually been a pretty good year.
Yeah. I think I can smell a big year for Fox Searchlight around the corner here, and that's Three Billboards and Shape of Water is both of theirs. Whereas last year was a big year for A24. Last year, A24 got the Best Picture.
Yep. Yeah.
So I don't know if it would go back to them with Lady Bird, but I want Get Out to win. It was my favorite film of last year. It is the best movie made last year, I think, by a large stretch. Huh? But I could also see that not happening.
See, A24 should have gotten it again this year with fucking Good Time.
Yes, you're right.
Good Time was my favorite movie of last year. I think the best movie of last year. Second one is Shape of Water. Lady in the Water. Whoops.
It's so
good. No, that didn't get nominated. For
no,
shit.
It did not.
And also The Square should be the best foreign language film, hands down.
You know what? I was hoping A Fantastic Woman would get it. I really like that movie.
Yeah, and he's a great director too. So that would be rad to see. But I don't know. Boy, did I love The Square. I know you and I differ on that.
I'm kind of mixed. I like also the Russian movie. Loveless is actually very good.
That dude just makes movies that are impossibly sad at all times.
Yes.
So I'm taking my time to get to that. So those are our thoughts on the Academy Awards. Any wrap-up thoughts, comments, question, concerns?
For most unnecessary wigs, The Post. Everyone's got a wig in that movie. Like, you know what? Tracy Letts, David Cross, Tom Hanks, obviously, but that's more of a peace situation, so it's a little different.
David Cross didn't need to have hair. Bob Odenkirk, I think, is
that's accurate.
Just Bob Odenkirk
with dyed hair. I mean, like, that's the thing, is like so much, like, nobody cares. You know what I mean? Wigs take me right out of a movie on this.
Oh, but you know what also? David Cross's fat suit. Oh, wait. That's not
oh, wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Whoa,
that's icy. Holy shit. It's
parting shots. Any other parting shots out of curiosity?
Well, I'm certainly not going to make fun of anybody's weight. Good Lord.
I feel comfortable in my glass house.
Listen, I will, speaking of weight, I will say Gary Oldman stealing what could have been a great role for a fat actor.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like cultural appropriation. Obviously.
You're right. The dude from Mike and Molly would have done a better job.
Exactly. Gerard Depardieu.
No
come on.
Fucking yeah. way.
Get the King Fupa in here.
Do you think
Gerard Depardieu in the Chris Christie story?
Oh, that I would say.
Do you think
love a Bruce Springsteen?
Joe Wright was watching back to back. You watched Norbit, and then he watched The Dark Knight. He's like, I got an idea for a fucking movie.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Oh, thank you for listening to our very special Oscar edition, and tune into the Oscars on this coming Sunday, where all will be revealed, I guess. We'll see how right and wrong we were. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Sisko.
Chris Gabin.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.